You're listening to E-Commerce Fastlane, episode 49.
Welcome to E-Commerce Fastlane, the podcast show to help you build, launch, grow, and scale a wildly successful e-commerce company. Listen to real conversations with proven practical strategies and success stories. Learn how to generate more traffic, more sales, more profit, and customer lifetime value for your Shopify store. And now, your host and e-commerce entrepreneur, Steve Hutt.
This episode is brought to you by OmniSend, makers of sophisticated omnichannel marketing automation tools for sales-driven Shopify brands and marketers that have outgrown generic email marketing platforms. Engage your customers and boost your e-commerce sales with dynamic emails, text messages, web push notifications, Facebook Messenger, and retargeting ads on Google and Facebook. So it's much more than just email marketing. They handle all of your marketing activities across multiple channels, all from within one platform. They have single-click Shopify integration, which also includes email templates and automatic product import from Shopify. Super easy migration from any other email solution that you might be currently using. And right now, OmniSend is offering a 14-day free trial for all of my listeners, which also includes 50% off for the first 3 months. So check them out, ecommercefastlane.com/OmniSend, and use the coupon code Fastlane when you sign up. Hey there, it's Steve, and welcome back to the E-Commerce Fastlane podcast. Now, if this is your first time listening, this is an e-commerce show where we have honest and transparent conversations about building and thriving online with your store powered by Shopify or Shopify Plus. Now, new episodes are available each week with your favorite podcast player through iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and Spotify. Or you can also sign up online at ecommercefastlane.com and be notified when new shows are being released. Now, today I'm chatting with Mike Averto, who is the co-founder and CEO of Channel 8. And we're going to talk about how they help Shopify merchants essentially unify their sales and their fulfillment operations into one platform. So, pretty exciting episode. Not for everyone, but it's certainly, depending on your maturity, your complexity, there's something for everybody, though, in this episode. So, hope you enjoy. So, hi, Michael. Welcome to E-Commerce Fastlane.
Thanks, Steve. I'm happy to be here.
Glad we're able to sync our calendars. I know it's been a challenging early part of 2019, but I think it's super important. People have a lot of growth plans, and we're going to talk about 3PLs. We're going to talk about just growth in general and how people are able to stop just using the basics that are built into Shopify and thinking outside the box and trying to figure out about channels and fulfillment and all these sort of topics that are important. And so, let's kind of share maybe on a high level what Channel 8 does and what pain almost, I guess, it solves for Shopify store owners.
Yeah, sure. So I like to call us a mission control center for direct-to-consumer operations, specifically with order management. So what we provide our clients is one place to view and control how their orders are fulfilled. And like you said, that could be through 3PLs, maybe through their own warehouses, through distributors, or even retail stores. And honestly, what we see is it's usually a combination of some or all of those. So it's basically helping brands build their own last mile supply chain so that they can build these unique experiences while maintaining that high touch relationship with their end customer so that they have a competitive edge against the large competitors in the space right now. And basically, because it's a unified platform, there's less errors, less support headaches, and less of the inevitable hours that I call searching for the truth.
What are some of the specific things that merchants can use the Channel 8 platform for?
Sure. So I think the biggest thing is that we're trying to help Shopify merchants that as a cohort want to compete against Amazon or against FBA. So one of the top things that we allow them to do is add or remove 3PLs or warehouses, and they can do this across providers so they're not locked into just one. So that's one big use case. A second one is even adding new Shopify domains. So international expansion seems to be a huge trend that I've seen for Shopify store owners this year. So that's a second one. And even adding physical storefronts is a third. So once there's some of this complexity with a couple domains or a couple 3PL providers, this becomes a little bit more complex to deal with. So having one place is really helpful. And then as soon as they have one place to connect all of these different things, updating their business rules like, hey, I want to use this carrier, I want to use this specific service level. My customer picked, you know, 3-day shipping on checkout. How am I going to make sure that I meet that? So we offer them a global dashboard basically to see the reporting and make changes to these rules. And by doing that, we've seen brands cut down 72% on support complaints, you know, from before a customer receives the product. So we've definitely seen it work.
Yeah, I know. I can definitely see the fulfillment part of it being a big challenge. I have opportunity to have conversations with quite a few brands every day. And that's one of the large topics about how do we create this like awesome customer experience and fulfillment part of it, especially internationally. And it's a massive challenge with multi-warehouse locations. And as you said, like service level agreements for shipping, it's hard. And so I guess it's kind of taking a step back and saying, okay, well, what can we do to improve that level of service and that fulfillment and maybe even cost savings and, you know, the customer's expectations about kind of when they're getting their product. It's quite an interesting conversation. And I'm glad that, you know, you're trying to attack that with your platform and unifying it all into one. So let's talk about, I guess, your journey, because that's kind of the thing that I find fascinating on this show is that certain founders make decisions on solutions that they create and problems that they solve. And I'm very curious to understand the launch of Channel Ape and kind of what, I guess, uniquely positions you and the founding team to kind of be experts to even want to create a platform like this.
I'll go back to the very early days. So for me, I actually remember at, I think it was like 5 or 6 years old around Christmas, getting a huge DOS computer that I had to use five and a quarter inch floppy disks just to play them. So, I mean, I think from that point, that was really what just started my interest in computers. And all the way through middle school, high school, and even through college, I was kind of always the tech guy and I taught myself how to program. But after graduating with a management and marketing degree, I had my first job, I think it was a week after graduation, managing perishable inventory for Walmart in their cold distribution centers. And I think it was like 8 out of 43 of their distribution centers that I had to source onions and carrots from the Salinas Valley of California across the country. And it was a great way for me to learn about just-in-time supply chain, because the one thing with perishable inventory is if you order too much, it's going to go bad on the shelves. Yeah. So that was a difficult problem to solve for. And, you know, it was pretty cool for me. But after 4 years, I just wanted to do something on my own. And I ended up launching just a software development agency in 2010, which ended up being good timing with the iPhone App Store. I got to work with some great Fortune brands, but while I was doing that, I was also able to work with who became my co-founder at Channel Ape, Jason. And he was actually using Shopify. And he ran into a very similar supply chain problem that we're solving today, which is he was selling vitamins and he had 3 different distributors that he could fulfill through. But for him, choosing the right distributor in different situations made a huge difference to his margin. So for him, what was on the market at the time was just very expensive ERP-like solutions that he definitely didn't have the money for. And the only other solution was really going 100% custom. So given my background, I guess being a good salesperson, while I had the agency, said, instead of going 100% custom, why don't we try to build a platform around this? And, you know, we agreed to it and the rest is history. And that's kind of how this started.
Yeah, it seems to be a theme that I see quite a bit is a very purpose-built solution used in-house to solve your own kind of problems based on the fact that you were involved in a vitamin or supplement type industry and multi-fulfillment issues and things like that. And so built this SaaS app for your own purpose and improve your own efficiencies and your own user customer's experience. And then now have made a decision to get it up on the Shopify App Store. So how long have you been on the App Store now so far?
I think it's been about 2 years, like early 2017.
And so let's dig into the solution a little bit then. Maybe we can share some example use cases for those listening today, just so we can better kind of understand how you're helping Shopify merchants and kind of this pain that you talk about and kind of what you're solving for them.
Yeah, sure. So I think, again, the main trend that I've seen is just, you know, how do I stay or keep my products out of Amazon and not use FBA, but still remain competitive? And, you know, I think this is really the benefit of the Shopify platform is that it gives really ultimate control to these brands while letting them own their data. And in my opinion, the most important thing, the relationship with the customer. You know, if you're selling to a marketplace or selling on a marketplace, it's really the marketplace's customers, not your own. So by helping them build their own fulfillment network, it helps them protect basically their product information and their customer lists. I guess a simple example could be that a customer that has one store and wants to add a 3PL warehouse. So there's a lot of 3PLs that have direct integrations with Shopify. And, you know, maybe on this simple example level, it's not a big deal to just use them. But we do see customers that want to run rules their own way, specifically around choosing carriers or maybe even rate shopping. So between the 3PL and to the specific customer shipping address, they might want to have different rules of which carrier they pick and why. And it's not always necessarily the cheapest one. But I think a more complex example, just to, I guess, bring it home is you know, let's just consider a clothing brand that has one Shopify store, and then they have an East Coast warehouse and a West Coast warehouse. When an order comes in, and let's just say it has a red shirt and a black shirt, those two items are available in an East Coast warehouse, and me being in Pennsylvania orders it. It's very easy to understand that you're going to want to ship from the East Coast. But yeah, if you have that same black and red shirt, but one's in the West Coast and one's on the East Coast, you know, are you going to ship two boxes? Well, now you have double the shipping costs. So you're going to wait a few days and wait until it becomes in stock. So I think that that's the type of complexity that we can really help these brands with.
Yeah, it's interesting. My wife had the exact same issue, and this particular, I won't give the name of the brand, fashion brand, but placed an order online recently, US company. We are in Canada. And so it was for two blouses and a necklace. And what showed up was the blouses. No real indication inside that particular order that the necklace is coming from another location. And so there was certainly was a little bit of a disconnect, and then having to go back through customer support and kind of, hey, I only got, you know, yes, the packing slip only shows two items. Fair enough. Thanks for that part of it. Where's the missing part of it? And so I guess in this particular case, maybe they don't stock it. Maybe it's drop shipped directly from a manufacturer or another wholesaler. And so I guess you would potentially solve that sort of problem too. Make a decision to fulfill this particular company only has one warehouse location in LA, shipping internationally, like domestic and international orders. But apparently they don't have this necklace that completes the look, so to speak. And so it's coming from another location now, but there really wasn't any indication on that during the order process. So any feedback on how that happened and why, and what's the best practice today?
Yeah, I think you probably hit it right on the head. My guess is that the necklace probably came from a supplemented, you know, distributor or drop shipper. And that's the exact pain right there. So it's really hard, first of all, to deal with that scenario when you're trying to figure out how to fulfill. But it's also even more difficult to make sure that you and your wife actually had some notification that, you know, here's the tracking number for this item, but heads up, this is going to be in another box and maybe be a few days later. So that's exactly what we're trying to do to help the brand is that tell them, hey, there's this scenario here where, you know, maybe the necklace wasn't shipped and you should get ahead of this before the customer starts asking questions, because you probably knew there was no worse feeling than you're like, well, what's going on? Whereas maybe if they sent you an email and just said, hey, this is going to be a few days later, probably would have made your experience a little bit better.
Yeah, because you open it up and, you know, you see the two items, you're like, oh. Like, you know, what happened to the surprise and delight?
Exactly. Right? Yeah, exactly.
It's kind of gone. It's like, oh, man. Oh, yeah, great. I'm glad these are here. But where's the necklace? Because that's kind of part of the whole deal here.
So, yeah. And then you're worried, yeah, did it actually get shipped? Was there a problem? So, yeah. And then that just adds a whole huge support nightmare for the brand, right? Because now they have to field the support request. And then historically, what would happen is they'd probably go to the drop shipper and say, what happened here? Whereas if they just had one place to see all of this, it just streamlines things.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's talk about maybe, like, I don't say the normal person at a Shopify brand, but like who particularly inside a brand at Shopify, like, you know, as someone that works inside a brand or, you know, a store, who has this sort of pain?
Yeah, I would say it's whoever's responsible for the day-to-day of operations. So the person who's always, you know, dealing with these support requests or that's responsible for dealing with the fulfillment partners. So they're the person that has the daily pain. And I think, you know, whoever's the technical partner could be an in-house engineer, it could be an agency, and usually they're the one that understands how to set up what we're doing.
It sounds like, you know, you're trying to make a solution here to, I guess, fight Amazon and fight the marketplaces to a certain degree. And like you said, own the customer list and own the whole experience. And so, and I guess you don't really want, I guess you're suggesting that, you know, you don't necessarily help people sell on every marketplace under the sun, but you're rather kind of more focusing on the Shopify experience. So can you kind of maybe expand a little bit on that?
Yeah, sure. I think that's exactly it. I think Shopify is the best platform right now for brands that want to do this and control that experience end to end. Because, you know, I think those that realize that the customer relationship is their competitive advantage are the ones that see that as the biggest success. And I don't want to get against marketplaces too much. I think there's still a value to have them, but maybe not selling every single item that you have and maybe keeping more some of your premium items on Shopify. And to that point, we've really focused on vertically integrated brands, which all I mean by that are the brands that are controlling what the product is and creating it, not maybe just reselling it. But again, they know that that's their main competitive advantage. And that's why we've exclusively really focused on Shopify as our primary sales channel.
I've noticed too that a lot of brands, with this whole Amazon effect, you know, like 50% of retail, online retail, is kind of pushed through Amazon, and that's continues to grow. I do see the benefits, as you mentioned, like these vertically integrated, these kind of direct-to-consumer brands, wanting to control the whole user experience and the fulfillment part of it, all that. I get all that. But I also believe that there is merit to a certain degree to have select products or SKUs or sizes, colors, more for brand awareness and just to gain more reach on these platforms. And as you said, maybe some of the more premium pieces or a full selection obviously would be on your Shopify store. But to completely ignore them, probably in my opinion, is not the best way to go. But there is a way of sprinkling some of your interesting pieces or products through some of these marketplaces just to gain some traction. Any comment on that?
Yeah, no, that was one thing I wanted to bring up today was that I do believe that that is the right way, exactly like you said, just maybe not putting everything, but just getting some brand awareness there. I think that's exactly the right way to do it.
So let's talk about maybe, you know, your marketplace solution, because part of the Channel Ape solution is, you know, is offering and connecting to marketplaces and, you know, more than just 3PLs and suppliers and whatnot. So let's kind of talk about overall kind of how your solution works, at least from a marketplace perspective.
Yeah, sure. So I think the one very interesting thing that we've heard from customers is that they want to actually make a Shopify domain and make it a marketplace. And one unique thing that that customers can use our platform for is, let's just use my example again, a clothing store, and we'll say it's Mike's Pants. Let's say that I want to sell watches or jewelry to supplement. I can actually connect to other Shopify brands and partner with them to sell their products through my store. So it's a similar example of what you just said with Amazon, but in this scenario, it's two Shopify or three Shopify domains all working together. And the cool part about it is let's say Mike's Pants is that marketplace store. When an order comes in for that watch from one of my partners, Channel Ape can actually take the watch and send it to that respective Shopify store so that they can fulfill just as normal. So it's a really unique solution to help Shopify brands kind of operate together and help co-market and co-sell together where it makes sense.
So just to understand the workflow here. So, you know, let's say someone's in the sports nutrition and supplement market, and there's certain products that they don't carry, but they want to have, but the other supplier or manufacturer is also on Shopify. And so you're suggesting that with your solution, brand number one could sell this product as if they have it in their own warehouse. So I guess, would there be a sync of inventories between the two Shopify instances at first?
Yeah, that's exactly it. Yeah, the second brand, the one that's adding the additional products, we can actually take everything, including images and everything, right from their store, but they actually get to control it, right? So they might not want everything to go to that sports supplement store. They only want two or three items. They can actually control that, or they could send every single thing. And then inventory can stay in sync throughout the day also.
So brand number one that sells the product, customers under the impression that it's coming from them. It's not. So then the order, I guess they pay for that. Let's say they pay for this one particular product, let's say vitamin, you know, D. So they bought this vitamin D and so they have a receipt. And then we know that it's being fulfilled by the manufacturer directly, who's also on Shopify. So you're suggesting that now they get it in their admin ready to be fulfilled on behalf of the first company. And then, like, how is the payment flowing? So if the company accepted the money to begin with and is creating that user experience and has their money in receipt and that kind of stuff, but then the fulfillment company, who's the brand, they're shipping the product on behalf of the first company. Just curious on the financial parts of that arrangement.
Yeah, sure. So for the few people that we've done this with today, we don't handle anything with the payment other than we do communicate what the customer purchased it for, but we allow those two brands to kind of work that out together. I mean, they both have a history of exactly what the order was and what the price was. So that's kind of up to them. And historically, you know, what we've seen is that the one that's operating as the marketplace is probably going to either potentially take some sort of commission or have some sort of other deal and then pay a monthly invoice or something to that matter. We haven't handled the payment part. It's really just the inventory, the order, and then the fulfillment information that's automated.
It's nice though to have the API connections between the two Shopify stores, because this has come up quite a bit. I know of other brands on Plus, I know for sure, that have expanded their catalog. I'm not sure if they're using your solution or not, but they've expanded it enough to saying, well, this is what we're really good at and this is what we're known for. But there's a couple other premium brands that are also on Shopify that we also would like to sell their product, also added onto a separate new type of collection. Pretty exciting.
Yeah. And I thought your example was perfect. It sounds like your wife bought two blouses, but then there was a necklace that completed the look. And I could see this being for the same reason. So perfect example.
Yeah, it's definitely happening. And I can see the marketplaces just because of the size of Shopify. I mean, I don't know, there's 4,000 to 5,000 plus merchants, there's 800 and some thousand core merchants. So I can see a lot of co-branding, co-promotion, cross-selling type opportunities that certainly can be available when brands are ready. So I'm glad I had you on the show today, because I think that's one way of finding out which products, you know, I guess building relationships with other brands that are non-competitive that can build out your catalog, and then reaching out to them as a personal relationship and saying, hey, you're like, well, what things are selling well? You know, maybe the way the website's merchandise will kind of show you what's selling well, and building that kind of relationship with them. And then all of a sudden, okay, now I can start having bestsellers available in a separate dedicated collection for that type of product, with necklaces or, and then there's other different types of merchandising and awareness type solutions that are available to maybe have an upsells and cross sells and frequently bought with sort of widgets and things, all part of an original catalog. It's really, really fascinating.
Yeah. I mean, and I think it goes back to our discussion about what we were saying with Amazon, where it's great to have your products out there for visibility. I think this is a great way for brands to help each other out.
So let's talk about the maturity levels, because I think I have a diverse range of listeners for this show. And, you know, if you were to give some advice, I guess, more for the early stage e-commerce entrepreneurs that are, you know, selling on Shopify, what would that be?
Sure. So I think my overarching, I guess, feeling on all of this is that really just focus on the experience from that first time the customer sees your brand. Maybe it's on Instagram, all the way through receiving that final product. And I mean, less ideally returning it to you, but think through that entire experience, because I think customers understand that the direct-to-consumer experience is a little bit more expensive and a little bit more high touch, but there's a reason for that. So, and again, I don't want to sound anti-marketplace, but focus on that relationship and that customer who really is your most valuable asset.
I would totally agree. And I also will add to it that, you know, there's some really good solutions that are available, and a lot of them I've interviewed on this show, that will really help with that experience. And, you know, part of it could be, you know, offering incentives through getting access to Facebook Messenger, you know, for cart abandonment and kind of recoveries, or, you know, text message solutions or push notifications or an email service provider. There's lots of ways of having some technology built into your website, you know, with conversion rate of, let's call it 2%. So 98 out of 100 people are leaving and may not shop with you ever again. So what can you offer? What kind of experience can you create, more than just maybe giving a discount? Maybe sometimes it's a lookbook or a PDF, a download, a video series. There's lots of things that you can offer in exchange for having a tech solution that identify this particular person, and, you know, and then have some kind of a drip sequence or promotional kind of pushes that can happen after they leave the site. So keep that in the back of your mind as an opportunity for those listening today. That if you know, are not doing the best as far as capturing and trying to identify all your site visitors through some kind of an incentive solution, I implore you to figure out those sorts of things, be it push notifications, text, Facebook Messenger, so the bots and Facebook Messenger type things, and then obviously email. Owning your email list is still, even though, you know, click and open rates maybe are going down, it's still a way of driving a lot of revenue for a brand. So there's also those. So there's the early stage people, but there's also those people that today are more, I guess I would refer to them more in the mid-market. They may have a small team and they're kind of eager to grow and scale. I have quite a few of those listening today. So what should that executive team or the marketing team, what should they be working on, in your opinion?
Great question. I mean, just to end on what you just said, I think number one thing always is just customer acquisition. And it seems that, you know, it's not just going out and buying ads anymore where you can do that. So I think that's the first thing that people need to consider. And we've talked about it throughout this whole podcast so far, which is a variety of different ways that you can do that. I think the second thing that I hear quite a lot right now is omni-channel, which to me, that's a little bit less about multi-channel. Multi-channel meaning, I guess, to a lot of different retailers. Omni to me, and just it really just means to me having a physical presence. So maybe not actually opening up a full-time physical store, but even having a pop-up, I think, is a great way to test a new market. And one thing that I actually hope that we start to see, to the point of what we just talked about on the marketplace solution, I would love to see brands actually start helping each other, even in this example. You know, physical is a little bit expensive to get started, but brands that can help each other, I think that's great. And then just really the last one that I hear about a lot is international, I believe is a really big market for people to really target. And maybe at a smaller scale, that's a little bit difficult, but we've seen brands that are starting to actually open up experiences in different countries and really different segments of the globe. So I think those are my top three.
Yeah, I'd agree on the international part too. I see the whole Asia Pacific is significant growth happening, obviously now with mobile and just mobile penetration. And so people are really buying. They're buying North American brands. They're buying domestic brands. And I know Shopify is really, from what I have read, is really aggressively pushing into that Asia Pacific market, not just the Australia and New Zealand markets, but through India and through China. It's so interesting, the sizes of those markets, but it also has its complexities too. Fulfillment complexities, language. There is, you know, even Shopify in India is not called Shopify. It's called Shopify Gold. It's called something different because there's a cultural thing. And then there's people on the ground there. There's partners and, you know, tech and agency partners and fulfillment partners. And there's lots of stuff going on internationally. So another interesting area, I would totally agree with you. If you're in the mid-market and you are looking to expand, then that's a great opportunity. And I know Channel 8 can certainly help with that as far as a single source of truth of, you know, with your site and then how things are being fulfilled. And then you're able to manage that whole, you know, customer's experience thanks to the Channel 8 solution. Let's talk about the future of Channel 8 as far as, you know, I'm not sure how much you can share today, but as far as maybe a 2019 roadmap or any kind of partner alignment, I'm just trying to figure out how you're helping Shopify brands.
Sure. So a big factor for 2019 is we're building more simplified flows to distribute your inventory across multiple fulfillment partners. So basically what I'm saying there is it should be easier for more mid-market and even some smaller brands to even connect to just one 3PL and still get benefit from it and do that via self-serve UI. So that's a big focus of the 2019 roadmap. And then I think as your question goes to partnering, yeah, so we've focused a lot of our time in late 2018 and first quarter working with 3PL warehouses and even Shopify agency partners to kind of learn exactly what they've heard from customers so that we could even make their lives easier to create these simplified flows just to make it easier for the brand, for the agency, and for the warehouses, you know, to create these more FBA-like supply chains.
Yeah, it's exciting. Very cool. Very cool. So we are nearing the end of the show, but do you have any, you've shared a lot of knowledge bombs today, no doubt. I think we're going to get a lot of good value about what Channel 8 can do and kind of some recommendations and stuff to, you know, help brands grow and scale. But do you have any closing comments or any takeaways that you would like to leave with our listeners today?
Yeah, thanks for the invite, Steve. And I think, you know, just to summarize everything that we talked about today, I think marketplaces are easy for eyeballs, but Shopify is really second to none when you want to build an entire experience around a direct relationship with your customer.
So how can people learn more about the Channel 8 solution?
Sure. So they could check out the Shopify App Store and just search for Channel 8, one word. They can visit our website at channelape.com. Or they can visit ecommercefastlane.com/podcast/channelape.
Perfect. And I know we talked before recording today, and you've been so kind to, I guess, almost offer a free consultation or review. Can you kind of share the details on that?
Yeah, I think what we can really help brands with, small, medium, or large, is just understanding what they can be doing better to get that higher net promoter score from their customer as it relates to fulfillment. So I'd be happy, and my team would be happy, to talk through basically what brands are doing today and see if we could offer any advice, even if it doesn't involve us at all, what we'd love love to do is just make sure that we can help brands grow and make their customers happier.
That's awesome. Thanks so much, Mike, for coming on the show today. I really appreciate it. I think this offer is great. So for those listening today, if you feel that you're in this mid-market and you feel that you're just wondering if, in fact, you're offering the best sort of user experience for your customers, fulfillment-wise and selecting the right 3PL and shipping and just how Shopify is potentially even a marketplace by selling other people's products that are also on Shopify. If that resonates with you, then yes, definitely look up Channel Ape and reach out to them directly. And Mike and his team will definitely help you out and at least review what you currently have and what your workflow is and see if they can offer some assistance in moving the future. So thanks again, Mike, for coming on the show.
Thanks, Steve.
This episode was brought to you by Omnisend, makers of sophisticated omnichannel marketing automation tools for sales-driven Shopify brands that have outgrown generic email marketing platforms. Engage your customers and boost your e-commerce sales with dynamic emails, text messages, web push notifications, Facebook Messenger, and retargeting ads on Facebook and Google, all from one platform. Try Omnisend for free for 14 days. Check them out, ecommercefastlane.com/Omnisend, and use the coupon code FASTLANE when you sign up. Well, that's it for today's episode. I'd like to thank you, a loyal listener of eCommerce Fastlane. It's my hope that this podcast is offering you a ton of value through growth strategies, tactics, and exclusive insider tips on the best Shopify apps and marketing platforms, all with my personal goal to help you build, launch, grow, and scale with Shopify. Thanks for investing some time today and listening to the show. I'm so proud and excited that you have a growth mindset and are a constant learner. I truly appreciate you and your entrepreneurial journey. Enjoy the rest of the week and keep thriving with Shopify.